Coach Kevin Stallings with us, and Jeff's cousin Joe Fisher will be on the call tonight as Vanderbilt plays the University of South Florida down at the Somme Center at 6 o'clock. Coach, what's going on this morning?
Just trying to figure out how to win one more game.
Isn't that what you're always doing?
That's until the end of the season. It's a constant battle to try to figure out how to win one more.
Hey, Kevin, how much pride is involved as far as the whole SEC Big East element of this, and you know, and wanting to be part of showing that that you know our conference is best?
Well, I'm not sure that the thing, you know, it's old enough yet to where there's any pride or rivalry involved. I hope it develops into that. I hope that we get to a point to where more teams are involved and maybe more like the ACC and the Big Ten and it becomes something that pride and rivalry has developed. I think at this juncture, it's probably still more, you know, we look at it like we've got a game tonight that we need to win. Tennessee looks at it like they've got a game that they need to win. And but you know, I would certainly like to see it develop into that.
Kevin, do you feel better about your team now that that Goulbourn is a little bit healthier? You'll get a chance to use him, and Chengang, you know, seems to you know is back, and you have a much broader rotation to draw from.
Well, I feel better about my team, Mark, because we've had an opportunity to have some practices, and we've had three or four pretty good days of practice, even though we've had finals that we've really had to work around. And Lance is coming back. I don't know how much I'll be able to use him tonight. He still is far from 100%, but it will certainly help us getting him back into the rotation and give us another perimeter score and you know, athletes that will be very helpful, of course. But I think as we integrate these guys and as long as we can stay steady and keeping guys consistently in the rotation and giving them consistent playing time, I think we'll do nothing but get better.
Kevin, if you look at South Florida, just looking at their roster, they got a big 6'10 kid, Gilchrist. Is Ogilvy, I know he's kind of a more of a kind of a perimeter big guy, but is he one that you count on to go up and to body up on the blocks against other teams' big men?
Well, yeah, he's got to be our inside force, and I think you know, Festus Ezeli will continue to emerge as a guy that can bang with people down low for us, and so but I think between AJ and Festus, those guys have to be our inside presence, both offensively and defensively, and I think they've done a nice job. We've probably blocked more shots at this point in the season than any team I've had in the 10 years that I've been at Vanderbilt. So we're establishing a little bit more of a presence at the basket defensively, and so but certainly AJ and Festus have to lead the way for us in that regard.
Kevin, South Florida's added former Georgia standout Mike Mercer and the aforementioned, you know, Gilchrist, who was a much heralded freshman. How much better do these two make them?
Well, according to, you know, everything that you read and see, their coaching staff believes it's going to make all the difference in the world for their team. And so, obviously, they're counting on these two guys. They started them in their first game that they were eligible, which was on Sunday against Niagara. As a matter of fact, Mercer played 39 of the 40 minutes, so they obviously feel like these two guys are big time guys for them. So, and I'll tell you this: they've got, other than those two, they have extremely talented, especially perimeter guards. Their guard play is really, really good. So they can put three or four guards out on the floor at a time that are proven Big East players, and so they've got size around the basket. They're a very talented team. I think they're much more talented than their record indicates, and they played in some difficult places at Virginia, at UAB, and lost close games in overtime, and they're a very talented team. So I think that Gilchrist and Mercer certainly add to what I consider to be already very good talent level.
Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings is our guest. Stan Heath, of course, is their coach, and you've matched up with him several times when he was at Arkansas. Based on what you've seen, you know, on tape, how similar are the things that he's doing at South Florida to what he did when he was coach of the Hogs?
Well, I think that they're pretty similar. They're still running, you know, a lot of motion offense, a lot of screening, and really working to get their perimeter guys open with angles and space with the ball. Their man-to-man defense, I think, is very similar to the one they employed when he was at Arkansas. So I think the style is very similar to what they were doing when they were at Arkansas. You know, obviously the players are different and things like that, but I'm not sure that they have quite the home court advantage down at South Florida that they had at Arkansas. but the style is very similar nonetheless.
Kevin, talk about a little bit about Jeffrey Taylor and just how he has made an immediate impact. You know, incredibly athletic, but, you know, I also read where you don't think he shoots it enough.
Well, I don't know if I don't think that if that's necessarily accurate, Mark. I'm not sure that I think that he doesn't shoot it enough. I think what's going to happen is he's going to shoot it better from the perimeter because he does in practice. He makes shots in practice from the perimeter. Most of the shots that he's made in the games have been of the layup, dunk variety, put back, little short jumpers in the lane. Jeff has a good shooting stroke, as is evidenced by his free throw percentage, which is in the upper 70s. And so I just think he's going to be a guy that develops into a very good perimeter shooter. And when he does, he's going to be even more difficult to guard because the only way I think you would guard him right now is just to give him space and try to hope that you can try to keep him in front of you because he's got such a great first step with the ball. When he starts making perimeter jump shots consistently in games, as he does in practice, he's just going to be a real handful to guard. And he's a fun guy to coach because, you know, he takes responsibility for his play and he doesn't try to ever make excuses. And he's very, very coachable and plays very hard and practices very hard. So I think Jeff's going to have a terrific career here.
When you guys practice and you see a guy and you sense that he's maybe not taking good shots or he's just not making most of his shots, where do you as a coach kind of try to get to the bottom of, you know, what the problem is? Is it getting open and how what you do before you get the ball, does that create the better shot? Is it just maybe a technique thing that you're seeing, or is it all the above that you try to get the guy into the best position fundamentally and maybe even beforehand?
Well, I think that it's a good question. I think that all of the above, but when a guy's not making shots, the first thing you ask yourself is he taking the right shots? So if a guy is 2 for 25 from three, you ask yourself, okay, you know, despite the fact that in shooting drills, when nobody guards him, he's capable of making 50% in shooting drills. If he's going to shoot 17% from three in games, I've got to draw the line and just say, hey, listen, this is not a good shot for our team. And so, you know, you don't like to do that because, you know, then you start limiting your players and what they can do and, you know, then you start limiting your mindset, which is even worse. And so you try to keep it as flexible as you can. At least I do. As a matter of fact, my coaching staff criticizes me for being too liberal with the shots I allow some of our players to take. But nevertheless, I think that you have to check out technique. You have to check out are they getting their feet ready? Because we feel like footwork is so very important when it comes to shooting. And then are they working hard without the ball? Are they, if a particular sequence calls for a screen and then moving into a spot for a shot, are they doing so correctly and that sort of thing? So I think it's kind of all of the above, but with the addition of, is that particular player taking the right shots for him?
Kevin, do you have kind of a cutoff line as far as guys taking three-pointers in a game? You know, say if this guy can't hit more than 30%, then we don't want him shooting threes in a ball game. Or do you kind of let that develop as the season goes along to see how guys are progressing?
Well, generally speaking, Kevin, you know, 33% would sort of be the Mason-Dixon line as far as I'm concerned, and I'd like a guy to at least be able to hit one out of three. But what I generally do is I try, if I can, to get through the non-conference season with letting guys, you know, just sort of have the freedom, if you will, if they think they can make shots, to shoot them. But then, you know, we'll probably have a little meeting between the UMass and Kentucky game and say, okay, you know, Billy, you're shooting 46%, so that looks like it's a good shot for you. Johnny, you're shooting 16%. It doesn't look like it's such a good shot for you. So we'll probably, I don't know if I'll be able to make it that long to the end of the non-conference season, but that's generally how we try to handle it.
So if Kevin and Mark were in the huddle, you'd say, guys, don't even think about shooting.
I'd say, get the ball to Frank.
There you go.
That's why you're the coach.
That is such a crock.
That's a great coaching move. Man, you're a genius.
And you know what? They wouldn't listen to me either.
Mark's a heck of an on-the-ball defender, though.
Sometimes you have to know your limitations, Kevin.
Exactly.